Haven't slept for the last month. Sit there and lie awake. What are you going to do? We just want to say thank you. Again, we love this church. And what God's done for us here is just incredible. We wouldn't have been down at PBI if we weren't here. We wouldn't be where we are today going to Mission Field. We wouldn't be anywhere. Where we should be, at least. And we just thank you and really appreciate you. We loved our month here, and we look forward to our next month in January here. We did get our new prayer cards. They are on that back table back there if you want a new one. Lydia is prettier, and me and Cassie are just getting older. But she's still beautiful, and thankful for all that. And Jeremiah chapter 9 and Psalm 18. Jeremiah chapter 9 and Psalm 18. This water looks used, so we're good to go. Yeah, Jeremiah chapter 9. Been going through a bunch of stuff at home, going through boxes and what to get rid of and what not to get rid of, and going through my old, even high school stuff. I had saved, you know, a bunch of stuff, and now I'm going to the field, Philippines, plan just get rid of it. Why store it at somebody's house when we're not going to see it again, most likely? Saving a few things, you know, extra important, but I was going through even high school stuff and looking at my Algebra 2 stuff and looking at it, I was like, what in the world is that? And I remember going through some of my Navy stuff. I was showing, hey, thank you. Brother Kehoe, all my quals and different things I did in the Navy. And look at just verse 23 of Jeremiah chapter 9. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." And I thank the Lord. I've just forgot all. I looked through some of it. I was like, what in the world is all that? And I have a lot of stuff, and I have all kinds of inspectors and different. I don't know what I was doing, but living for myself. And let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you again for Calvary and for the cross. And Lord, thank you for the singing. And Lord, thank you just for where we are today. And just help us to know you a little bit better here this evening. And Lord, just speak through me, just put me aside, Lord, and be a blessing to these folks. And Lord, help me to put you out as you are. And Lord, the greatest challenge for me is putting you out as you are and not as man. And you're not me, and you're not anything like me. And just pray your blessing upon this, and to put you forth in truth as you are, who you are. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, obviously, we don't have much to glory in down here on this earth. We know verse 23, the wise man, the rich man, and the strong man. It just, you don't have much to glory in. Why? Someone's stronger than you. Someone, you're going to die one day. Someone's richer than you, and those riches can't get you to heaven. Those riches can't save you. The riches can't buy you health. Riches can't buy you a good family. Riches can't buy you a whole bunch of things. But you know, the wise man, he can learn all kinds of things, and of course, the wisdom from above is better than the wisdom from below. And so there's a good wisdom, but the wise man of this world is foolishness with God. But look over at Psalm chapter 22, Psalm 18, right? Where I had you go, hold your hand in Jeremiah 9. There's three things here. It said, let him at glorieth. Go back to Jeremiah 9 before I go over there. Sorry, Jeremiah 9, he said, but let him that glorieth, I have something for you to glory in, that you understand and know me. That's the great thing you have to glory in, that you know God. And Lord willing, everybody in here tonight, Lord willing, knows God. And most people out there don't know God. They have no idea who He is. Most people in churches don't know God. And hopefully understand God a little bit tonight. And just these three things we're going to point out here. The loving kindness, the judgment, and the righteousness. Because in those three things is what God delights in. And some of those are easier to understand than others, but God's not like us. His ways aren't us, are like ours, His thoughts aren't like ours, and that's one of the most difficult things to understand about God is because He's not like us. And you have to get yourself out of yourself to understand Him, to put yourself in the Bible to understand who He is, because He's not like us. And some of the things are easier, we can see the loving kindness, but not in a way. But when you get to judgment and things like that, God delights in judgment. And it's hard to understand some of those things, so we're going to look at those tonight. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. The greatest thing I think I have is that I know God tonight. I know God, and He knows me. He knows me, praise the Lord. And look over in Psalm 18. David, of course, is a man of... He can learn a lot from his life. He wrote a lot of these psalms, which will be in a lot of them tonight. Psalm chapter 18, look at verse 19. The Bible says, He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. And so David, he's talking about this delight. God delighted in him. He delivered him. And the question is, why? Well, it's pretty obvious when you start reading on. He tells you why. Look at verse 20. It said, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." See all the righteousness there? "For all His judgments were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also upright before Him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in His eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright." You know why I believe God delighted in David? Because He delighted in the things that God delighted in. One of the greatest things you'll see about David is David's heart was for this city. This city were not where he was necessarily at, but this city where God was going to be king. This city where God was going to come back and establish a kingdom of righteousness. Look at back, hold your place in Jeremiah 9. We're going to go back there, but go to Hosea 2. Hosea chapter 2. You just saw a beautiful wedding. Let's say that. That's about the most perfect wedding you can get. Two people grow up in the same church, just loving, fall in love with each other. Not fall, but you know, they just love each other. It's just amazing. I mean, just two kids growing up in church. I loved our wedding. I didn't grow up in the same church. I didn't grow up in right. That's just perfect right there, watching Caleb and Anna. And get married. This is a marriage that the Lord's looking for here. One of them. He's got a couple marriages, but one is with Israel in Hosea chapter 2. And he goes through verse 18. "And in that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down safely." That's his people, Israel. "And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies." Perfect marriage. Perfect marriage. That's right there. And righteousness, judgment, and loving kindness. We're going to see here the mercies directly related with the loving kindness. But those three things, "I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord." That's a pretty amazing thing. Israel, what God's going to do, and David delighted in what God was going to do. The greatest day to the Lord is when He comes back. And getting excited about that one day is The same thing as God gets excited about. You start thinking about the second coming of Christ. You start thinking about Him setting up the throne of His glory, the throne of David over there in Jerusalem. That's what God is excited about. That's what God just, He loves. He can't wait for that day when His Son stands up over there and the nations calm down and bow before Him. When He comes back and stomps out His enemies, He's looking forward to that day. A different God from most people understanding. Hopefully tonight, as a Bible believer, you understand God's not like us. He's not like man, but He has a perfect marriage coming up. Back in Jeremiah chapter 9, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. God's delight is not in all the things we delight in. We delight in food a lot of times. Eh? We delight in just going out and playing. Playing sports, playing different things. Sometimes go for a car ride. We delight in all kinds of things that God has no delight in. And I'm not saying vacations are great. That we delight in those things and they're needed. I'm not saying don't go on vacation. But God doesn't delight in vacation. He delights in these three things right here. And again, to start understanding God, these three things, I started thinking, if I delight in the things that God delights in, like David, maybe God will delight in me. I want to be more like God, just like you. We want to be more like God. How do you do that? Delight in the things He delights in. He delights in these three things, loving kindness. Go over to Psalms. I'm going to look through a few different things here. Psalms chapter 25. I'm going to look at this loving kindness. I had to look through it a little bit. What is loving kindness? You can sum it up in a lot of different ways. Loving kindness, you put love together with kindness. But loving kindness, look at Psalm 25 verse 6. It says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old." Psalm 51, verse 1. Probably know this one by heart. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Psalm 69:16. Psalm 69:16. If you start noticing a connection there, this is what I'm going to connect it with. "Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Beat the bush here. Psalm 89, verse 20. You know this. This is going to be a little bit of just context here. "I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. And he's established him and strengthened him. There's enemies that come up against him in 22 and 23. But in verse 24 it says, "But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn be exalted." He's going to set his hand and he's going to cry unto him. Make him my firstborn in verse 27. In verse 28, "My mercy will I keep for him forevermore. And my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne is the days of all, or heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail." God connects a lot of his loving kindness with his mercy. His tender mercy. His tender mercy. I was talking to a pastor just a little bit back. 30 years pastored. Wonderful pastor, Brother McFadden, if you know him. Just been a blessing. He was the first church that ended up taking us on for support on a deputation. After 30 years of being there, closed the doors down. And people just, you know how things go anyway. I won't get into those. But just talking to him, and he was going through it back and forth, and just how things have happened a little bit, and I just started talking about the goodness of the Lord. And he brought up this verse, "His gentleness hath made me great. His gentleness hath made me great." And I think of the Lord, His loving kindness, His mercy. He's been gentle. He hasn't given you what you deserve. He's been so good to you. I was going to ask Brother Jensen and Brother Jacob to come up here. God, He delights in mercy. Surprise, surprise. I asked him a little bit just to do a quick illustration. God delights in mercy. And He had mercy with me. I dropped my microphone. Well, Brother Jensen, we know a little bit, just hadn't had the best past. And just no glamorizing. He didn't get saved until he was 29. Had a lot of sins to sow, right? And a lot of sins to reap for, even. And where were you headed, Brother Jensen?
Hell.
Hell. And Jacob here, he's grown up. He's 14 years old now. And asking a little bit about him more. And he's a pretty good kid from what I've seen. He comes up and shakes my hand. And you look at the difference between the two of them. Not that they're son and father, but how clean cut he is, just raised. Probably never done half the things you and I have done. And you just think about the cleanness of him. And you know what? Just like he was talking about, he's still a sinner. But where were you headed, Jacob?
Hell.
Hell. The same place. For the same two people. One that lived like the devil, you'd say, before he was saved. And they both needed a salvation. And what was your cure?
Christ.
Christ.
Salvation.
That was a cure. He'd take all that sin away. Is it gone?
Yeah.
It's gone. Jacob, what was your cure?
Christ.
Christ. But you didn't live as bad as him.
As far as you know.
Amen.
His sin still sent him to the same place. Cross the board, if he's a good guy or a bad guy, we'd say, he's going to the same place. God gives him the same judgment. You know what God saved you from?
My sin.
The same thing he saved him from. Sin are different. You know, sin is different across the board. Different sins you do, and you're going to reap differently from those sins. But what God did for you at Calvary, thank you. He had mercy on you. Whether you're young and you haven't done much, what God did for you at Calvary, wipe that slate clean. Whether you think you're a good person, haven't done too bad, your sin was sending you to the same place that Brother Spurgeon was headed. Same place Adolf Hitler is in. Same place all those bad guys are in. You know what? They're going to the same place. Hell, and the mercy of God. You know, the greatest thing in Micah chapter 7 clarifies this even more. Micah chapter 7. God delights in this. He delights in saving Brother Jensen just as much as He delights in saving Jacob. He loves showing mercy. He can just find a sinner who will come and ask Him for it. He'll send that mercy. Why? Because verse 18 of Micah chapter 7, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy." His loving kindness. He delights in it. He delights in what He did through Israel. He's just merciful over and over with Israel. You know what they did? They kept forgetting what He did. They kept forgetting what He did in Egypt. They kept forgetting what the miracles and the signs He did, the plagues that He put on the Egyptians. They kept forgetting what He did in the wilderness and the manna and the water. And they kept forgetting all the mercies of God. And they got in a bad place. Why? Because they didn't remember. You remember Josiah and Jeconiah? Did I get it? Joash. Joash and Jehoiada. Both of them off. This is why I don't like preaching. I'm just a mess. Joash and Jehoiada. All that Jehoiada did for Joash. He was the priest and brought Joash up. And can you imagine forgetting what Jehoiada did for Joash? Incredible thing to forget. But he did. He forgot it. The Bible says he did. You know what? You can forget Calvary. As great a thing as Calvary is in Ezekiel 16, I look at Ezekiel chapter 16. Not spend long here. Ezekiel chapter 16. God delights in mercy. David, over and over, His mercy endureth forever. He delighted so much in His mercy. He talks more of mercy in the Psalms, and He loves mercy. And you know what? God wants you to have mercy. He wants you to delight in mercy with others. Not just with between Him and delight in the mercy He gave to you, but now to take that mercy and show it to others. Ezekiel chapter 16. I know a little bit about this passage. An excellent picture. This is everyone. Everyone. Why? Your parents can't save you. Your aunts and uncles can't save you. Your grandparents can't save you. Your brothers and sisters can't save you. Only the Lord can save you. And here you are. No one can save you except one person. And you just altogether, just no one wants you. No one can do anything for you. And you're dead in trespasses and sins. And in verse 6, He comes by, the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, this is an allegory for Jerusalem, so you're not going to find exact things. But He comes by and He says, live. He says, live. And He gives you life. The best thing God does gives life. He gives life to you and I. He gives life and He gives eternal life. And He came by, and when I was dead, I was alive, but I was dead. And He came by and gave me life. He said, live. He not only said, live, though, but in verse 8, at the end of that, He said, become mine. He made me His. I became His very own possession. Greatest thing. I mean, just wonderful passage. And what God did for the Jerusalem here in this allegory, and He clothes them and decks them, washes them, and does all those things. And in verse 15, they go and trust their own beauty and played the harlot. You know what the problem was? Is verse 22. And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth. You remember when you're lost? I got saved at a pretty young age. But I still remember being lost. Lost in sin. Lost, without hope, without God. You remember that? Don't forget what God did for you. When He saved you, He took all those stripes, all that judgment. He bore your judgment, which we're going to talk about next, in His body. He took that whole thing. That's His loving kindness. Something to rejoice about. Something to shout about. I know we're up in the north, but God loves shouting. He does. He likes it when you get excited about Him. And I know the last thing your flesh wants to do is get excited about the Lord. Wants to get excited about eating. Wants to get excited about everything else. But not the Lord. When the Lord boils up in there, you get excited, you want to do something, you know what? Hey, everyone will look at you. I hate shouting. I went down to Pensacola. I tell you what, for a year, I was there. My first year, the third year students there were just as obnoxious as could be. They were shouting all the time. It seems like they wouldn't stop shouting. Trying to keep my mouth here, but I remember just sitting there. I liked it a little bit, but I was like, man, these guys are just nuts. I'm a quiet person. I'm going to sit in my chair. I'm just not a shouter. I'm still not today. But God started dealing with me. He said, you know what? They just appreciate me. And I sat there and said, Lord, I appreciate you. I'm not a shouter. He's like, can't you just say something? I don't like shouting. Disrupt the service. You know, you find a lot through the Old Testament, them just shouting. God-given victories when they just shout. Sing and praise is great. He loves some shouting. He likes it. Just say that, throw it out there. Go to the next one, Jeremiah chapter 9. I was born and raised in Roseville, Minnesota. But I didn't have an excuse. What He did for me. What He did for you.
Amen.
Amen. He did so much for you. I think of Mr. Keel. What He did. So many people hurting and crying around. Going from church to church on deputation. Just seeing people suffering all over the place. And His tender mercies come in every one of those situations. Something to shout about. Jeremiah 9, 24, if I can find the page. Jeremiah 9, 24, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now judgment is one of those things where you just stop and hold on. Does God delight in judgment? Does God enjoy judgment? Delighting is something you take pleasure in. And delighting is just, man, I love this thing. Look at Psalm chapter 9. We'll see what God says. Psalm chapter 9. Look at a few places. Psalm chapter 9, verse 16. The Lord is known by the judgment which He executeth. One reason you know Him. Who He is. If you don't have a God of judgment, you don't know God. But anyway, Psalm 33. Psalm 33. When you start seeing judgment around, righteous judgment, you'll know that God's there. You'll find Him. Psalm chapter 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm chapter 37. Now we're getting to God loves His judgment. And we know there's a lot of judgment that's not done right. Even by man, even by Christians, with some judgment that is just false judgment, you'd say. But His judgment is true and right and perfect and holy. He delights in His judgment. Psalm chapter 37, verse 27. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment. Are you sure? He loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. Hey, one more, 97. Psalm chapter 97. Two more. They're right next to each other. Psalm chapter 97. Verse 2. Clouds and darkness around about Him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. He sits in judgment. Look at 101:1. Here's David jumping in. He says, I will sing of mercy. Praise the Lord, I'll sing about that too. And judgment. It's hard to sing about judgment. This is where His ways are not like our ways. God delights in judgments. I'm going to show you a few things just to understand. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 12. God has judgments all over the place. And in Deuteronomy, He commands judgments as well. And we're going to see some differences. We're not in the Old Testament anymore. But in Deuteronomy chapter 12, this is what He did. This is what God delights in. Deuteronomy chapter 12, start at verse 1. It says, these are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land, which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods upon the high mountains and upon the high hills, and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars, and break their pillars, and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods. Excuse me. And destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God. God's judgment, He delights in judgment. Look, before I go and say even farther, let's read one more place. Psalm Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. This is the great part. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him, and keep His commandments to a thousand generations. And now another great part that we don't think is great. And repayeth them that hate Him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth Him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. God has some judgments in this land. He even gave them judgments to perform on the enemies. The Hivites and the Jebusites, why? They were enemies of God. They hated God. Just like most Americans hate God. That's why judgment's coming. God delights in His judgment. I'll tell you what, God would much rather you turn from your wicked ways. He doesn't just get excited about killing people, making people and killing them. It's not a fun. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but He delights in His judgments because they're right. And when you choose to go away against God, to hate His words, to go, God just says, you're getting my judgment. And He does it to His own people. Some of the times God rejoices are some of the scariest times in the Bible. In Deuteronomy 28, when He rejoices about destroying His people, that's a terrible God. Take Him out. We don't want to know about Him. Well, that's what they do. They get rid of Him. They make a God like themselves. They make a God who wouldn't delight in judgment. But God delights in His judgment. When you go against God, He destroys them that hate Him to His face. He doesn't back down and say, oh, you don't like me. Okay, well, I'll change this and make it a little more comfortable for you. He comes up to you and gets you in your face. Now, people don't like that. They get offended easily. And God will offend you very fast. In a lot of ways, Jesus Christ just offended them left and right on this earth. No man offended people like Jesus Christ did. And He would just send them just mad and fuming away, and I didn't get my way. God doesn't want you to get your way. God wants you to get to His way. Because His way is right. And if you get out of His way, you're going to end up in His judgment and thank God for His judgment. You wouldn't be where you were today. Because the proper judgment produces the fear of God. Look at chapter 13 in Deuteronomy. Chapter 13, verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy wife, or thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the end of the earth, even to the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. That's a God of judgment. A scary God. You know why? Because he doesn't want to share you. He wants you all to himself. A God, he doesn't want you to go over the like all the other nations, go after them and after their kings, after their gods. He says, destroy their gods, get rid of them, and love me. And I'll love you. That's how God wants it to be. And if his judgments weren't there, would you have gotten saved? His judgments put a fear. Look at verse 11. They stone him, and all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. Wickedness, to turn someone's heart away from God. Shouldn't everyone be able to have their own right to religion? God said, kill them. That was the Old Testament. Granted, we're not to kill people. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're spiritual. We have a different enemy. We have the world, the flesh, and the devil. We fight them a little bit differently than in the Old Testament. This is not a kingdom we're fighting for like they were back there. But you know what? You're still fighting for your king. You're a soldier of Christ. You're king. You got some enemies to fight. Soldiers of Christ, arise. But look at God's judgment produces the proper fear. Remember, someone that cursed, someone that broke the Sabbath, those things were dear to God. Even covetousness, idolatry was just left and right. And you know, you have all through America here, you have Santa Claus. I'm sorry, I messed that one up, but they worship him. He comes down on that float at the Holidazzle. They love him. And if you say anything against him, you're messing up the kiddies. Amen. You know what God's going to do to Santa Claus? God hates him. He knows who he is. God hates him. And but look at rock and movie stars. I just love him. He's just my favorite singer. He just puts... People have gods all over the place. They have idols, sports figures, talk show hosts, professors, even preachers. You know, when people have favorite preachers and they go and they, you know, this is just my favorite preacher. Better watch out. Be careful who you listen to. Biggest things I've seen in the churches I've traveled around is people get listening to other preachers. It's hurt them. It's hurt them tremendously. Psalm 147:10, he delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. God's delight is in judgment. And that judgment produces the proper fear, and God delights in men that fear him. That proper fear put in place. Sing the songs, more love to thee, Lord. How about more fear to thee, Lord? More fear. If we would just tremble before you, God. If we would just get before this book and say, God, we're in big trouble. America is going down. Sodomy left and right. You know, just the judgments of God. God hates those things. God hates these sports figures running around. God hates these rock stars running around and these movie stars running around. And you know what God wants you to be? I'm not against sports and music and things like that. You know, God hates these. You know what he hates? He hates them. He delights in judgment. He wants you to have just judgment. A just and right balance. And he says in John chapter 7, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You have spiritual enemies. Spiritual enemies, you know, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are your spiritual enemies. Make judgments on them. Judge yourself. we would just judge ourselves. We would not be judged. If we put the right judgments on ourselves, get washed, get clean. That priest had to clean at that brazen laver he was talking about every time before he went and worshiped. He went in there to worship God and the bread and the candlestick and that incense and go before the ark. He didn't wash his feet. He was a dead man. God had a way of doing it. He delights in His judgments. Prove all things. Hold fast when Phinehas put that javelin through him. You know what God did? Phinehas, you did a little bit rash there. That was a little hasty. God delighted in it and gave it an everlasting covenant for the judgment that Phinehas made. The time Jesus rejoices here on this earth was for hiding wisdom to the wise and prudent. He rejoiced in that. He loves judgment, the right judgment. He loves it when you delight in judgment, the right judgment. I'm not going to be a part of that world. I'm going to cling to that cross. That cross, that world hates that cross. That world, you get close to that cross, that world will just get away from you. You won't want nothing to do with that cross or with that world. That cross is the seat. But look at the last thing here, Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. Righteousness. Righteousness. He delights in righteousness. Look over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. This is probably the hardest one for me, to show God as holy. God delights in His righteousness and in His holiness. God is holy. I understand God. I've just been learning more and more, especially reading through the Old Testament and all the holy things. And just, I know we're not in the Old Testament, but we have some holy things still committed to us. We have a holy Bible like Pastor's been talking about. We have a holy temple that He's given us. And the Holy Spirit in our temple. But look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Here's Jesus Christ. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. God delights in righteousness. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Righteousness, you sum it up, a lot of His righteousness, just His main thing, God's righteousness is found in Jesus Christ. You find His righteousness in this Bible. There's His righteousness. His perfect righteousness. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. We're turning a little bit. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. This is our God. He delights in righteousness. He's holy. And this is where you come to try and get before God, and He has nothing to do with you because He's separate from sinners. But He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come in to make that gap where we could access God again. Because God, you can't get to heaven without Jesus Christ. Right? No man could get to heaven. Abraham and Isaac, they didn't even get to heaven. They went down to Abraham's bosom to wait a while. But you know what? They didn't get to heaven. Why? They didn't have God's righteousness yet. God delights in righteousness. And He's holy. He's separate from sinners. He's undefiled. There's nothing wrong with Him. And to be able to get in His presence, to get with Him, you have to be perfect. That's where you thank God for His loving kindness. Because His mercy makes you perfect. His mercy makes you like Him. His mercy comes in and takes your judgment. He clears the account. He takes that and He places His righteousness in there. God's righteousness, perfect righteousness, where you can go to the Father and spend eternity with Him. His righteousness. He's holy. God is pure. There's not a drop of iniquity in Him. And He delights in righteousness. Doesn't delight in watching TV. Just little things. I'm blanking out on better things. I had better illustrations than that. But He doesn't delight in those things that we just so often delight in. He delights in doing right. He delights in getting out on the street corner and preaching about God. Preaching about Jesus Christ. He delights in righteousness. He delights in you delighting in righteousness. He loves it when you do right. The prayer of the upright is His delight. They that deal truly are His delight. He loves it when you do right. You know, it's sad that we have to be reminded of that. I need to be reminded just like you. Just do right. Do right. Why? Because He'll delight in you. You do right, He loves that. Most people don't do right. They do what is right in their own eyes, not in God's eyes. God wants you to do right. In Psalm, you know, Psalm 1, His delight is in the law of the Lord. His light is in God. And I remember just being out on deputation quite a bit. One of the biggest things was music. Going into churches. Well, we've had rock parties and everything in churches going around and turn off the lights and singing and getting... Anyway. Right music. You know, what's becoming big is an emotional music. It's something that ministers to the soul. Soul music. Something that makes you cry. Something that makes you just overwhelmed with all these emotions and things. That's what they're listening to in churches. They have all these screens and movies and stuff that they watch and do. Why? To just get you to cry. We're supposed to not worship God in soul and in truth. Spiritual music. Spiritual music. It runs out a lot of music. Fleshy music, soul music, that's a lot. You only have a little bit of spiritual music. Tons of carnal music, tons of worldly soul music. It's just all over the place. God loves spiritual music. He loves right child raising. It's so scared, you know, even going from church to church, we get scared about dealing with Lydia and correcting her the proper way. It's difficult. You know what? God likes when you delight in righteousness. He delights in righteousness. Of course, you know, the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You delight in the things that God delights in? I challenge you tonight, don't forget. Don't forget what He's done for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much again for just this book and being able to know You. And Lord, I always worry about myself, my own carnal ways of preaching. Lord, I hope You got the message through. You spoke to the hearts, Lord, and Lord, I just pray You'd continue to work and do something, Lord, I can't do. And thank You, Lord, for just Your mercies. Thank You for Your judgments as well. They've corrected me time and time again. I've seen so many judgments through this Bible, it's helped me get a lot of things right in my life. We see those judgments and we're supposed to correct ourselves. Learn from our mistakes. Learn from mistakes, even in the Bible. This whole Bible was given to help us, to put some fear in us. Help us to fear You. Lord, help us to do right. Even when this world doesn't want to, it just goes against this world and they make fun of You. And they hate You, Lord. They despise You. They hate Your words. Lord, help us to love, to do right. Lord, just because You'll delight in it. not to lift ourselves up, Lord, and vanity and pride, but Lord, just to love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed for a few minutes here. May the Lord spoke to you tonight. Preached many times here about the idol making in Christianity and how folks get an idea, a humanistic idea, about how God is, and they ornament and adorn God as they want Him to be. Of course, they do the same thing to Jesus Christ. Now, in that sermon, where the fur really hits the fan, is point number two, judgment. Because we have been fed a steady and continual dose of propaganda on Christian radio and by preachers that God is love and only love, and judgment is not consistent with love. So much so that when a judgment is made, Christian that believes the Bible is actually accused of being judgmental. Brother Dave said there's a right way and a wrong way, and there's right judgment and wrong judgment. But right judgment is a virtue. And you're called to make those judgments. You're called to agree with God. Kindness, without judgment, and without righteousness. You can't agree with Him without those things. Find a songbook, turn to number 333. We'll stand. 333. Thank you. appreciate preaching tonight and this morning, and appreciate all you being here, being faithful, and all the work that went into the last few weeks and the last few days, as you know. Pray for these guys. I'm going back to Pensacola here. It's going to be a long night for some of them. They're probably going to undertake to drive all night or some such thing like that. Something for young people to do, not old people. So just pray that they'll get back safely. Again, everybody, appreciate these guys preaching today. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we are able to stand before you and thank you for your mercies. And we thank you for letting us experience the loving kindness of God, the tender mercies, even these last hours, these last couple of days. Father, it's been a blessing. It's been a lot of work, but you've rewarded your servants for their service, and we pray that you'll bless. May there be the right fruit born from it. Again, grant for folks that are taking a couple of days of vacation to get the kind of rest they need, folks traveling back where they have obligations, Lord, to get there safely and, Father, avoid any tragedy that might occur. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. May you help us indeed to rejoice in the things that you delight in. May we know the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, and not the God that we've constructed in our own minds. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody.